Hello, all of you wonderful people out there in podcast land. Welcome to another episode of Black and White Reviews. My name is Will.
My name is Lee.
My name is Chuck.
Is it?
Is it? You sure?
I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
This week we are discussing episodes 4, 5, and 6 of Stranger Things. What are they called?
Terminator 1, Terminator 1, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And Terminator Genesis.
Pretty much.
That's, oh, you know, okay.
They might as well be. They might as well just be called the Terminator episode. Well, at least this first and second one, because of some things that happen. I really don't know the names of these episodes. I didn't pull them up.
Well, the first one was the sauna test.
And the second one was the flare? Filade?
The flayed.
Yep.
And then the third one, hold on.
E pablis.
Oh, e pluribus unum.
E pluribus unum.
It's Latin.
The many one. It's the many one. Just to call, I'm just going to call it the many one. There you go.
It's on our currency, man. It's part of our country. And we know we can't spell America without Erica.
This is true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Unless her name is Erica with a K, and then, you know, you got problems.
I guess so.
Well, with the illiteracy in this country, it would still work.
I suppose.
Probably. Have either one of you ever seen a little HBO show called The Newsroom? The pilot episode, Jeff Daniels gives this amazing monologue.
That's what that's from?
Yes.
It's so good.
It is
amazing.
It's like,
amazing. You know, the question was like, why do you think this is the best country ever? And he's just like, this country is horrible.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
And he basically just, like, gives a rundown of everything that's wrong with this country and why other countries are, like, superior for this reason.
It was done as an interview type shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that.
It's fantastic. It's really, he won an award that year for that.
I'm not surprised.
Specifically
good for him.
That. He not only won an award that year for best male actor in a leading role, he beat Bryan Cranston.
Yeah,
for that, which is wild to me. I'm guessing
that was
part,
the same year.
I'm guessing it's probably because they didn't want to give it to Bryan Cranston like for 5 years in a row, so they were like, "We gotta break this up." Jeff Daniels, that was good.
So hey, little update for those of you who are watching us right now. We are no longer recording our stuff in a studio.
Oh.
We now have our own stuff.
Oh.
We had our own stuff before, but we have some new stuff that's allowing us to have this nice, crisp, clean audio for you right from the Jam Cave. So as you can see, Chuck and I are here together. It's just kind of weird to have him double in the shot, so I go like this, so we don't have to see him from a distance. But you can see his beautiful mug
from a distance,
right in his own little box.
Yeah.
So, no hard feelings, no issue with it. Honestly, I prefer this. I think it's actually a lot more comfortable. And, we get to just kind of, at least I just get to go upstairs and go to bed.
True.
So that's nice.
Very true.
Yeah.
I'm the only one who has to drive home.
Yeah. Well. And your commute's like twice as long now.
Yes, it is. Literally.
Well, instead of driving,
it's
what?
Literally.
Okay.
Yeah, it went from like 3 minutes to 6 minutes.
Wow.
It was like a good eight or nine.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yep. So.
So I guess I'm going first since I'm still
the noob.
The noob.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah. So, just to touch upon this though, like, We're kind of cruising through this season, and it's how we, you know, went through the last season a bit, and like halfway through, we're just like, let's just go through a few episodes at a time. Now, once we're done with this
season, for this season, because like I said, it's filler.
It's a lot of filler
season. So,
I was gonna recommend, and I just know that whatever for everybody to hear that we do one at a time for the next season, just because of how much it is. And honestly, we're not in a rush because we're not gonna see another season of this show until at least 2025, and
more than likely not.
Yeah, so I don't think we're gonna be in a huge rush, and I think season 4, you know, there's a lot that all that comes together from all of these seasons in season four. And again, you watch it and you go, I don't see where else they're going with this. You know, at the I don't remember. Maybe I have to rewatch and see. I did, you know, just like many people, binge the show when I first watched it. So some things are lost where I don't remember how it ended. I just don't remember it ending with me saying, I like, what's going to happen next? It was more like, huh, that was a good way to end this, you know, chapter. But I don't remember where they were going.
I do. Okay. I remember. I vividly remember the finale of season four. We're not going to get there right now at all. I'm not even going to hint.
Yeah.
But
no, that's way too far ahead. But here, yeah, it's definitely filler-rific. And, not to say that I don't like the season. I think the season's fantastic, and I'm excited to see where it goes. But season four is by far the most entertaining part of this show for me. So I think you and I are both just excited to get to that point.
I'm excited
finally talk about it.
I'm excited to talk about one thing out of season four. I'm excited to rant about something else in season four. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited for you talking about a cameo,
Murray,
in season four.
Mm-hmm. I'm just excited. I'm just excited because I like Murray.
Yeah.
Is like the show like stopper. Like he Murray is amazing.
You realize I haven't seen it yet, right?
Yes, I understand that. We're not like we didn't give anything away. The thing is these are characters that we're seeing here. These are characters that we understand are here. But the point is, like, as we've seen, Murray when he was first introduced was like the crazy dude that like I've got these conspiracy theories and blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you see is that whole scene was, how was the pullout? You know, and like just his whole interaction there. And then we see him again in this season. Or, I mean, we see him, yeah, at this point, and we're like, wow, like they keep on bringing this character back. They're making him a staple, and it's amazing. You know, even in these three episodes, he was great, which we'll get into. But anyway, I'll, take Chuck. A step back here and digress.
Go ahead, Chuck. Take it away.
So, I like this. I do like this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's some ridiculousness that does happen, at least in the last episode, that... No.
Okay.
Shouldn't... No. No. Like... No.
Okay.
Like, the fact that this is even happening in under a mall in America, no. First off. Second of off, to two 18, 19-year-old kids that are, you know, part-time ice cream scoopers, no. You know.
Mm-hmm. Just, who do you work for?
Scoops Ahoy! No.
To the USS Butterscotch.
It's just U.S. Butterscotch.
Whatever. No, I thought it was the USS because it's a ship.
No, he was talking about ice cream.
I understand that.
Butterscotch.
Okay, yeah. But that's the point, is it's about ships because it's Scoops Ahoy. The USS Butterscotch. Like, that's the name of the ship. That's... Anyway, whatever. Usually they're called USS, but anyway. Continue.
Sure. Yeah, I think the weird thing for me, which we all know that this is all dealing with the Russians, is I think what's going on is, yes, there. It's almost like, I hate to say this, the upside down, this, the main craziness that happened in the last two seasons dealing with the upside down is almost the secondary story and the Russians are the primary story.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't like that aspect.
Okay.
If it was flipped in reverse and there was more going on with the upside down and there was less going on with the Russians, that would make it a better story for me. Outside of that, I enjoy seeing Harrington and Dustin coming together as, you know, you know, big brother, younger brother type scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I love that whole thing. You know, I think I said this last time, you know, Erica, to me, she is Donnie Darko's younger sister, and to me, she still is.
Like, okay.
She's just that irritating, annoying little sister that nobody wants around, and she's super smart and knows it.
Yeah.
I love that Dustin's even smarter and puts her in her place a few times. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So good.
But everything else, like with Ross and Rachel, you know, this whole scenario with, I mean, Nancy and Jonathan, you know, we're together. We're not together. We're together. We're not together. You know,
yeah, it's just
Leonard
it's just
and Penny,
their,
you know, just, it's that sitcom experience without it being a sitcom.
True.
I don't know how I feel about that yet. Like, they're obviously getting back together. You know, it is what it is.
Sure.
And then you have this, you have the Max and Lucas, 11 and Mike scenario thing going on. And yeah, there is some parts where 11 becomes 11 again, and
oh yeah,
she is 11.
I told you.
Yeah, but they could have done without the last four episodes where she wasn't 11.
It was giving her a chance to try to explore who she is, and I think she needed to have that moment, that time of growth where she was like, let me try this stuff out, because she did the whole dark punk thing, and then now she did the girly girl thing, and then they're like, okay, I can dress like this, but I'm still me.
But
you know,
she did the dark punk thing for
a couple, for a few
scenes.
Yeah.
And then she becomes this girly girl, and she has, outside of a few things that she does, she is still the girly girl. The 13-year-old, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
But when she becomes 11 again and she does these crazy things,
she
does it. Like, the fact that she's using, like, a fluorescent scrunchie in her hair to put it back, like, the half up.
Yeah.
That's not her. That's not her character. And I don't like that. She needs to, like, when she had, like, the Jean-Claude Van Damme hair combed back, that punk style, that was her.
Okay.
That's what she, like, they found this thing that she fits into, and then they immediately scrapped it and did something different, and I don't like that. Like, they needed to explore that for a lot longer, because she became this, like, you know, this punk rock, crazy, psychotic, and it fit her character and what she does. And then they dumbed it down the very next season, and they did this whole thing with her, and it ruined it.
This is kind of a double-edged sword for me, because on one hand, I agree with you. I think it's way too fast. But on the other hand, like, the show clearly, like, jumped forward a significant amount of time.
4 months.
They had to do that because of the way the kids age. Like, kids grow up pretty quick, and especially, like, over a 2-year time period, like, they're aging, they went through puberty, everything about their, like, facial features and everything changed. They look like they're 10 years older, so you had to, like, advance time somewhere. So there's a huge gap of, like,
true,
Eleven's life that we didn't get to see. And I think
But there was a bigger gap from season 1 to season 2, and you didn't see a drastic change. There's only a few months from season 2 to season 3. And the gap between season 2 and season 3 and the change is so drastically different compared from 1 to 2. From 1 to 2, the only thing that changed was her hair grew longer. Outside of that, she was still 11. From 2 to 3, she went from 11, who was just, you know, amazing, to a 13-year-old girl who's just like, and it's just dumb. Mm-hmm. So the only two things that really kind of for me with this season is I'm fine with it being filler, because it still is a good season. It's the fact that the whole Russian plot is the primary focus, and
just get over it. Just get over the Russian thing, okay?
Wow.
Okay, so I just won't give my opinion in this podcast.
No, I'm just saying the whole Russian thing. What the heck?
I don't like it.
Okay.
So
I don't like the
fact that 11 is a 13. I know she's a 13-year-old girl, but I don't like the fact that she is portraying your typical 13-year-old girl, and I don't like that.
Have you ever at any point in your life just done something because you're told that's what you're supposed to do, just to like be in with the crowd for a moment?
Doing it for a moment is one thing, but they keep her there
for a couple of
longer
days.
Than they keep. No, they kept her. They keep her there for a while, more than they kept her in the punk stage, more than they've kept her in any like.
Right. Well, she's no longer with those people. She was dressed like a punk with. She was with them for a day.
I think I'm on board with what Chuck is saying about how fast it was, about how she's not 11 anymore, about how like everything about her like aesthetic and her character kind of changed in between season 2 and season 3. Like clearly there was a lot that happened that we didn't get to see, and now 11 is in this place. When it comes to her and the whole mall and her being the girly girl and the, you know, BFFF with Max, it's a bit much. However, I don't know. I don't look at it that way. I almost look at everything that she's going through right now as like she's having like a vacation away from herself.
Yeah.
Where she can explore and like try different things and try like on like a different personality and see how it fits and see how she cares about it. Because
yeah,
when push came
like
to shove,
to live as a normal person.
Yeah, because when push came to shove, she very easily like slid back into being 11. But everything else is like, I kind of, the whole mall thing, I'm not on board with her and Max.
That was overboard.
Her kind of like taking a step back and not being like the superhero for a little while and just being a 13-year-old girl. I'm kind of okay with it. Like she deserves it, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
She just wanted a taste of ice cream. You know? Like that was it. She just wanted that chance.
Sure.
But
okay.
I see what you're saying. I just think that for storytelling purposes, I'm not surprised they did it. You know, everybody gets the chance to try on some new clothes and be something else for a little bit. But when push comes to shove, push comes to shove.
Sure. So I think let's talk about one of the reasons why we're doing three episodes at a time, I guess, is because we said it filler. In terms of like the Stranger Things lore and Stranger Things story, this is another three episodes where one big thing happened.
And that's it.
Yeah.
One big thing happened.
Yes.
Where in like season 1, season 2, it was like a big thing happened every episode, or if not every other episode. You're like, you got this big bomb. And here first three episodes, one or two major things happened. In these three episodes, like there was one thing that happened. And aside from that one thing, to Chuck's point, it's all Russians. And I'm fully on board with you with that. I can't stand it. I can't stand the Russian subplot. I can't stand it. And I especially can't stand that it's like front and center. I think,
Because, first of all, the way that they portray it, it would never happen.
Well, what doesn't make sense about it, I mean, obviously we see what's happening here. And Chuck, you know, you see what's happening. They're doing it because they're the replacement for the lab. The lab is non-existent, so they are the replacement for what's going on at this lab. Eleven's not there; she's with them. So, okay. So who's the governmental issue here? And it's the Russians tied in with local government. So
they're not tied in with local government.
They're not tied in with Robin Hood there.
With Robin Hood.
Yeah, the mayor. Who's basically like giving them passage to do all this? Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it in depth later, but my point is like, that's the new like governmental issue is these Russians. You know, they're the new lab, the new Hawkins lab is them, because Hawkins lab is no more.
Right.
So it's just that's the focus there, but no, we don't like the Russian thing because it's like, it's overdone and ridiculous. Like, well, it's the 80s, so it makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yay, capitalism. Anyway. Yay,
yeah. we'll get into that too. Capitalism. Free market society.
All right. So Chuck, is that's pretty much how you feel?
Well, I mean, without getting into detail, overall, still good. I just wish that there was more focus on, what's going on, because the premise of this TV show is the tie between the upside down and what's going on here. And they've strayed from that. And that they need to get back from that primarily. And then that would make this season better.
Well, okay.
I mean, I do like Will's explanation as to what is going on. Mm-hmm. I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And I when he does the drawing with his hand and he, wipes his hand on everything.
Yeah.
I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, I like when they have their visual explanations like that, pencils through a piece of paper and this and that. And, it's good to have that, the flea and the acrobat stuff, all of it. It's nice.
True. But,
I agree with you. It's no longer the main plot is what's happening there because they're so focused on the Russian thing. But if you think about it, obviously the Russian thing is very well tied into the whole upside down because that is their focus and goal.
True.
So
and that's
yeah, it's like in order to get back to that, the Russians have to be the kind of the focus here.
No, because even in the first two seasons, the lab was the people that were doing this, but the lab was never the focus. It was a side plot, whereas the upside down was the focus. If they kept in that same vein with the Russians as they did with the lab, it would be fine. But they flipped the script.
But in the lab, the gate was open. The gate's not open here.
It is open.
It gets open.
Talk about that. It's open, which is why the flayed are all even around, because it is open. It's not fully open, but it's open. It's cracked.
They don't really... No, it almost opened. It opened just enough to reanimate the dust. And then it closed.
No, it didn't.
It kind of did. Like, it's...
The beginning, first episode, it opened and then it closed.
Yes.
Now, with this newer, bigger shrink ray that they have, it has been open for a while now, which is why everything... It's not going to reanimate it and then have the gate closed and keep it dead.
Hang on, because you're both kind of right. There's like a middle ground here that we
there's
need
a
to,
middle ground. They're
that
not
we
really
need to
explaining.
Agree on where it's open, but it's healing, but it's... being activated again, and it's not like when they have their big discussion with Murray, and he's like doing the whole translating thing, like it's I took away from a lot of that conversation was it's kind of there, it's kind of open, we did a boo-boo. So
I mean, it's not to the extent that it was in season two.
No.
Of course not.
And in the first episode, when they had the meltdown, they you see it kind of open up, and then it closes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, without fully getting into it, they're underground and they have this thing on, and it is keeping it. Now the thing is the gate's trying to close itself, but this thing is keeping it open, and because that is the only reason why. The smoke monster, or in this case the gut monster, the gooey rat monster, is able to be alive is because the gate from here to the upside down is remaining open. If it wasn't for that, then that would ruin. If the gate was closed and this thing was still animated, that would actually discount everything that happened in the first two seasons, and it would make it it not even real.
Right.
Because so it has to be open. It has to be open for this all to work out. Because if it's not the case, season one and season two are null and void.
It's open enough for things to be happening.
Right, it's not fully open.
Yeah, it's open enough for things to be happening. So
right.
Do you want to transition us
transition?
Into, spoiler territory?
I don't think we have to go into anything.
Yeah,
you know,
so
otherwise.
At this point in time, if you want to see the rest of this conversation and enjoy our lovely mugs while we're talking about this, find us on patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews. On there, we got some great goody goodies, some great bonuses, some great extra content, and you get some great merch as well too. You can find us all over social media on Black. You can find us on Facebook at Black and White Reviews. You can find us on Instagram and YouTube, the YouTubes at Black and White Reviews 1866.
Yep.
All of our audio will always be free and full on any podcast site. Spotify, Google Podcasts, if they're still going to still do that, Apple Podcasts, you know, the whole thing. But with that being said, we're going to slip right into spoiler territory, and we're going to go from there.
So before we get into that, I want to say, you know, we're back here in the jam cave again, and it's been a while.
Put it back.
Listen, when we did this before, we weren't on video.
No.
We didn't do video until we were in the studio.
No.
So now, when I do this, you can all see the glory. This thing, if you don't have one of these, I got this from the Dollar Tree. Back when it was still the Dollar Tree and everything was only a dollar, this is the greatest little just head-scratcher thing for a buck. It looks ridiculous. You could probably poke an eye out with it.
Probably.
But when you've had a long day, and you've been wearing a hat or whatever, or you know, headphones, cans. This is just glorious.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you something that looks very similar, and it cost me no money.
Uh huh. What's that?
Your hand? Huh?
No.
That's the same.
No. Thing. There's something different about it not being your own body doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
And also with it being small like this, it actually triggers and releases dopamine, and it's amazing.
Okay.
Sure. Just saying, it's good stuff.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy you have
lots of amazing distractions down here that we can use in props.
I love that you have a thing that can scratch your head.
Oh, me too.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
I absolutely love it.
So Thank you.
I've got pogs too. You want to see those?
No.
Not really. Keep those away. You don't have to bring them out. You don't have to pull them out at all. Okay. What do you want to start? Do you want to start with this invasion of the body snatchers thing that's going on
so cool.
In these three episodes?
How
kind of like all of a sudden out of nowhere, like people are coming back to life. They're being animated. They're looking really sweaty. They're looking like they're on drugs. Like, so why is your hand over your mouth like you just had some massive revelation? What's going on?
No, I was just I was thinking of something different. I was thinking of a whole different scenario before we started going into that, and I was just like, I can't believe it. But
what are you talking about? What happened?
No, I was gonna get into the whole underground scene, but we'll go into that first. And I was just like, I can't believe the whole underground. It's but we'll go into this part first.
Sure,
it's fine.
Sure, yeah.
No, let's go into the whole body snatchers thing first. I think it's. It does make me ask one question. So everybody else, to your point, Will, everyone's being animated by this mud monster, whatever we want to call it.
It's not mud at all.
Gut
at this
monster.
Point, it's a rat blob. It's a blob of rats and humans.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everybody turns into it, which means they're obviously not there. It's actually this thing that's animating them. All I want to know is Billy and Heather, are they part of it, or are they just, do they turn into goo at the end, or do they get away scot-free? Because they're also being animated by this thing.
So yeah, pretty much.
Is he being animated the same way that Will was, or is he also a goo monster?
So we talked about this before in the last episode where we discussed the first three episodes of this season, and it's still very unclear what the difference was between what happened to Will and what happened to Billy. And it's tough because you're trying to understand this lore, you know, that they're using here, but there's nothing that's so clearly defined. So if you think about this dust monster, you know, which all it was just like dust. It went into Will, like a bunch of it, if not all of it, went into Will.
Mm-hmm.
And
a part of it did, not all of it.
Yeah. Well, no. He just stood there, and a lot of it went in. So, and he just
go away.
You know, took it, and then go away.
Go away.
Yeah. And then that goes into him, and then he's a spy. So it was laying like dormant in him, but like being the mole the entire time. So Will wasn't really being controlled by it as much because it was laying low. It was like, you know, just kind of hanging there just to get the information to the demo dogs and stuff like that. But the difference here with Billy is it's like controlling and convincing Billy, and we're seeing Billy have this like struggle in the very beginning when he's like sweaty and kind of losing it. And he's when he at that scene in the shower where it's like, you know, kill her or whatever, like take her, and he's like, you can see he's like, get away from me, and he's fighting it.
Yeah.
Or he says to Mrs. Wheeler, get away from me, and he runs off. Like, he's fighting whatever's like trying to control him. And then you see the other guy, and he's all sweaty too. The boss, you know, from the
paper.
Yeah, like he's all sweaty and everything too, but he's having a conversation with his own memories, you know, but being controlled by the dust monster. So it's
Billy's back and forth though. Billy becomes Billy, then Billy becomes a dust monster, then Billy becomes Billy, just like Will.
Yeah, well, and Will says at one point he's activated. You know, he feels him. He's like, he's here, he's activated. And it's like, ooh, okay, good terminology, because it's like a sleeper agent. You know, it's like this body is here, but you know, Billy's afraid of this, and whether he's activated or not activated, like, because that scene in the sauna when he gets thrown in there, and then you can see him just like freak out,
yeah,
and you know, smashes the glass and all that stuff. Like, that was an amazing scene, and I don't care what anybody says, that was one of the coolest scenes in these three episodes we watched.
Just I agree.
When it takes him over, and you can see it taking him over, and you're like, ooh, it's like,
all the veins
angry
in his body turn black, and he's,
It reminded me of that scene in Split when he becomes the Beast.
Kind of,
whoa!
Yeah.
Like, it was cool, because he had, like, superhuman strength because he was being driven. And, I don't know, I think, this, like I said, this is where the lore is like, okay, we're getting into details here that we can either go one or two ways with it. We can choose to, like, try to understand it, or just say maybe they'll explain it at some point and just kind of forget about the nitty-gritty of it, because it's still an interesting story.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I could go crazy trying to understand exactly what's happening here and what the difference is between Billy and the other dude. And honestly, I'll say Jake Busey is always amazing as a psychopath, and I loved seeing him in this because he is fantastic.
So I will say that's the difference, is everybody else who is being taken over by the dust monster is very different than what Will went through.
Right.
But I think that Billy is the same thing as Will.
The
fact that Billy is Billy, and then
The heat was the issue with everybody. That's why the house was so cold when they went to Heather's family's.
Right, but also Billy is Billy, and then he's activated, where everybody else is just a drone. Billy's not the drone. He's the head of the whole thing, because the dust monster is the head of he's in charge right now.
But what happened to Billy is the same thing that happened to everybody else. He was dragged in, and then they on his face, I'm assuming, because of the way that went. And I mean, that's all they're doing, is pumping that goo with the dust and stuff into people, and it's just, it's eating them from the inside.
I agree with Chuck on this one. I think Billy is clearly, like, the head. Because when he went to
he's the head.
When
he
went to the other world, it was like, I want you to build. And it was like, build what? Mm-hmm. And it's like, obviously, an army of some kind, right?
Right. Because he was the first human that was contacted at that point.
Yeah.
Everything else was rats.
Yeah. And there's something special about what Billy's going on compared to everybody else. Like, everybody else is more drone-ish. Billy seems to at least have, like, whether it's Billy or something puppeting Billy, but there's some agency going on that the other ones don't have. Like, they're just mindlessly walking into the basement and turning into goop. So,
because if that was the case, how come Billy did not do that in those times?
Well, because he's still he's still needed True. In that body.
True.
Yeah, that's the point, is that Billy was enlisted to be, like, the general.
Right, but yeah. The difference is, though, and that's why I go back to, does right. Billy survive season three? Because if he survives season three, then he is the same as Will was in season two. Well, if not, and it becomes goo, then you're absolutely right. He is the same as everybody else. But he can't be. He can't be.
I don't think he's meant to be goo. He's meant to be puppeted the way that he's being puppeted.
Right, which means that he's very. That's why he can be unactivated inside him and then
right.
activated.
Right.
He yeah. is the dust monster or the goo monster inside Will, or inside Billy, is the same that it was inside Will. Everybody else is different. Billy is right now is the spy.
Sure.
Oh. Wait a second. I didn't even think about this. This didn't even occur to me. They're all going around eating fertilizer and chemicals and all that stuff. Is that just to break their bodies down from the inside? Like, to kill them from the inside so they can be controlled? Because they never really explained why they were eating chemicals, but I think that's because, like, they even said, this would kill a person.
Of course.
So is that why those chemicals are breaking down bodies from the inside, and that's why the dust is able to control it as easy as it can?
Who knows?
I think that's what it is.
It's probably easier. I would assume like for whatever this thing is from the upside down, maybe like necromancy is easier than just like puppeting something that has mental agency. So yeah, I can see it.
So it's just killing them, so they don't have the back and forth like Billy has. It's guiding them to break
yeah,
themselves
I can,
down completely.
I can definitely see it. I can see it.
But again, we go back to my question is, you've got this conversation, or these conversations with Nancy's boss and, you know, Jake Busey, and they're talking with their memories, you know? So they're not fully gone.
They're not fully gone.
Not yet.
But yet they break down when they break down. They just, like, to nothing.
Well, after they die.
After they... Yeah.
Those two die first, and then... And I said that hospital scene
Does
was
Pat,
so
I'm curious. Amazing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chuck. I just... One question, because now I'm wondering. Fertilizer that you go to, like, Home Depot and buy...
Uh-huh.
Does it come with, like, petricide in it? Or do you do
like
that yourself?
Pesticide?
Pesticides?
Yeah,
I think you can buy it with or without.
With or without? Okay, so that yeah. so then, yeah, cleaning agents, any kind of, like, pesticides or anything like that. Okay.
They're doing that to break the body down from the inside.
That, yeah, I like that.
But again, wouldn't that also affect the brain? Because they're using their memories to have conversations. And, you know, like, for example, when Will was being controlled at that time, like, Will didn't know, or that, you know, smoke monster inside of him, whatever, didn't know who people were. It was just like, you're mom, you're my friend, Mike. Like,
yeah.
It only knows what it knows.
Yeah.
But it didn't know who Bob was, because Bob was irrelevant. And, you know, like, Hopper, you know, like, whatever. Like, it didn't know who these people were because it wasn't Will. But yet these people know who Nancy is because, you know, I'm the boss and blah, blah, blah. And just
True.
Like all these things, you did this thing I told you not to do. It's using their memories. So that's why I think a lot of this is really just kind of, it's up in the air, and you can kind of just go, it's a sci-fi thing. Like, you're not going to get every single answer. And I hate that about most of the things we discuss. But I feel like it's never truly answered exactly what's happening. And I don't know.
Okay.
I agree with you in all the things that you guys are both saying about it. It's just like I feel like there's still more that's not solid.
Right.
It's very goopy.
Well, they are goopy.
They are goopy.
Right. So that's it.
I would say this. I would agree with
it's
you.
It's not consistent. The consistency is goopy.
I would say that it would be what you're saying if it happens to Billy at the end. If Billy survives this... Then no, Billy's different.
Maybe we're just overthinking it, and, you know, the creators were just like, hey, the Duffer Brothers were just like, hey, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that's simple, how do we do it? Oh, they're gonna eat chemicals and blah. Like,
Yeah.
It could very well just be that simple, and we're just reading way too much into it.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. So the whole chemical eating thing, just to clarify, I'm not saying the reason why they broke down to goop was because of the chemicals. I'm just saying it was easier for the dust monster to break down the rest of the body at that time because of all the chemicals Maybe. That were pulling it apart from the inside.
It's possible. I mean, if you think about, it's very possible.
If you think about what happens with rat poison, for example. So we had a mouse problem, and for a few years I was catching and releasing, but eventually we're just like, okay, we're seeing stuff pop up in different places in the house, so we went with the poison. And I haven't had an issue since. I can leave food on the table and then, you know, we're good. Not that I want to, but, you know, I could, and I've never seen anything for months now. What that chemical does is it actually coagulates things on the inside, and it just, like, destroys them from the inside.
Yeah.
And that's basically what's happening here, is they're eating all of these things that do the same thing to a mouse. So if they're taking it in large quantities and everything, that's helping the dust monster be able to break them down to goop in the end. So I think it's a combination of just like, hey, this makes it easier because I'm not strong enough to break these people down from the inside otherwise. So the bursting and everything was after the rat, you know, let's just look at the one rat in the basement. That was after the rat was eating all the pesticides, all the garbage. And then eventually, because it was broken down further by the dust monster. So I just wanted to touch upon that because that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
As if we're going into lore and explanations for scientific stuff, I'm like, well, that makes sense. But the whole brain thing and the memories, I'm still lost with.
Kind of.
I think we're focusing on it way too much.
I know.
Kind of. So, yeah. So that,
I mean, what else are we going to do? We break stuff down. That's
the whole Body Snatchers plot of season 3 of Stranger Things. We can kind of leave that behind in Russians. We can move on to the Russians if you want, or do you want to talk about something different? So they're at the bottom of the mall. They're at the bottom of the mall, and they basically drug Steve. They beat the crap out of him first. Who are you working for? And he tells them the truth. Then they drug him, and they find out, oh, my God. So this is so on the nose for, like, Chernobyl-level stupidity from the Russians. That it really boggles my mind that that the showrunners actually had the gall to, like, do something to make them look this stupid. It is wild to me.
The fact that they drug Steve with the truth serum. He still says the same thing.
And he's just telling them how stupid they are, and they're laughing about it. Like, that's the best part, is they're just like, you guys are dumb. It was like having Beavis and Butthead there just like, dummy, stupid Russian, you know, just it was great. I loved that whole scene.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Ignore me. This just feels really good. Yeah.
Go ahead, Will.
No, go ahead. Go.
I've been trying.
I've been trying to let you. Lee, let him talk.
there's a part where they would never escape this facility, first of all.
Probably not.
I mean, they would never escape it. Four kids.
No.
You know, they would never escape it. But when they finally get into this one room and there's the one guy at the comms, like in the communication. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's great. I'm
and
in it with you.
And Steve fights this guy and wins. And I went, oh my gosh, he just won a fight. And then instantaneously, Dustin's like, Steve,
you did it.
You did it. You won a fight. And I was like, yes. Like the fact that they're self-aware at that point. Was actually really, really cool
because
they're saying what we're actually, like, literally what we're actually saying.
Yes.
I love that. The fact that, like, if they – this is more traumatic for what's going on for these guys than anything that's happened in the first two seasons.
Oh, yeah. It just keeps on. The stakes keep getting higher, which is what's great about this show.
And it's so crazy that if Steve is not a different person by season 4, then they radically screwed up.
I mean, he's radically changed since the beginning.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but he changed, like, he needs to be, like, deeply messed up from this point on.
This,
I'm sorry, if this happened to any one of us, we would be institutionalized in about 4 seconds.
Yeah,
like this
rainbow.
One,
just for the right.
He's kind of got a point. I mean, you think about everything that Steve witnessed in the first season with the Demodog, everything that Steve had to go through in the second season with going into the other Crown Tunnel and almost being eaten by the bunch of Demodogs running towards him and all that craziness. And now he's been kidnapped and poisoned in Truth Serum by Russians.
And beat the and his face bashed in.
His face gets bashed in like every 2 episodes.
Pretty much.
Not this bad.
He takes a beating.
But the thing is, like, when he gets it, it's just like he does it, and you look at him, and how many times have we seen Steve just, like, half out of it and then being like, okay, yeah, we got to get out of this, you know? Because we did it again when he wakes up and he's in the car and Max is driving.
Yeah.
That was, you know, last season. It was amazing. And then this whole thing where he gets beat up, and it's like he's just the punching bag the entire time.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, when he steps out and, like, does something awesome, it's awesome. So when you're talking about the dude there that he takes out and Dustin's like, you did it. When he grabbed that microphone and like flipped it in his hand and smacked it, like that's his signature move, I think. Like I feel like he's got this like, I'm a baseball player. He played baseball, right? That was his game? Like a baseball bat?
No, he was
a jock. I thought he was a baseball
basketball,
player.
Basketball, right?
Basketball.
Yeah.
In this season, yeah, with Billy.
Last season
with Billy. Yeah, yeah. Because Billy was introduced last season. But I thought he played baseball in the first season. Like that was his sport. But
no, he just had the bat. He just had a bat that he drove a bunch of nails through. Oh no.
Well, anyway, like
Jonathan drove the nails through the bat, and Steve decided to use that as a weapon.
Yes.
Okay.
But like when he grabs the bat, like that's like he's good at it. Like he is comfortable with that thing, like an extension of himself. So when he picks this up and he flips it and smacks the guy in the face, he does it so effortlessly. Like again, that's an extension of him, and he's just totally confident and comfortable. And he does it and he's like, I did it, you did it, like okay, like it was awesome. Like the confidence that he had in that moment when he's like, you know, whatever, just it I love it. I think it's ridiculous, and his character is continuing to get beat up yet grow.
Yeah. So let's get to the main talking point about the Russians, and Lee, I'm sorry, but I'm not, I can no longer. Last week when you were going on and on about, like, he's just the Russian from 80s movies, Russians, and he could be the boxer, or he could be, this is, and I said last week, no, this is Terminator. They literally call him Arnold Schwarzenegger in this in one of these episodes.
Yes, they do.
They
do,
go full
and,
on.
And
he got the jeans.
You know,
he got the leather jacket. He's riding the bike. The whole thing. He is full on Terminator.
I will walk back on that, and I will say yes. They are pushing hard. You know,
it's
the connection to the Terminator. Like they are pushing it super hard. When you've got Cary Elwes there, you know, the mayor, who's honestly, I'm gonna say it again, he crushed this character. Like, you know, we've seen him in a bunch of stuff, but he is really good at being like this selfish, like jerk of a mayor who thinks he's got everything in his back pocket, but gets his butt handed to him multiple times by both Hopper and the Terminator here. Which, again, I'll go ahead, because I was so wrong with it, I'll just call him the Terminator.
I'm not saying you were wrong. I'm just saying, like, dude.
I'm saying they weren't laying it on as thick as they did in these episodes. Okay. And I'm going, okay, well,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have laid it on very thick here by even calling him Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was just a slap in my face, you know.
Thoughts on the Terminator, Chuck? You? Anything?
It was ridiculous. I was like, could they be any more on the nose than they are right now? Mm. I mean, just the way that he comes walking down the stairs is slow. It's methodical. Just like he comes down with like the biker, you know, pants on and the jacket, and he's just walking with this giant gun. And
when he's got the gun, he just goes, you're like, okay, all right. Like he's not moving at all. Like he's just stiff. The gun, okay. whatever. Yeah, it's...
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the same.
It's ridiculous.
They did that absolutely on purpose.
Absolutely on
purpose.
It
does not... Yeah.
The first one was 84, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this would be 2 years after that in the time frame. I just... Steve needs to walk out. I mean, talk about trauma bonding.
Well,
between him, Dustin, and Robin, with what's going on. I mean, Dustin comes back in like with this like cattle prod and like starts like shocking people. It's like, what the heck is going on? Like this, the difference between this and what's going on in the Upside Down through the last two seasons is when you go back and you're like, okay, there's something science fiction and mystical and, you know, the you have to like suspend your belief for what's going on. Like there's no possible way that this is actually happening.
None.
But it is happening, you know, so you're like, okay, so you have to suspend disbelief for a little bit of time. But when they're going through what's going on with the Russians, you're like, this became more real than what was going on with the Upside Down.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you're having this conversation of like, this is what happened in D&D, and this is what happened with this game, and I can kind of take it and, you know, compare it to what's going on in real life, you're kind of like, okay, yeah, you know, unless you're a part of it, you don't know what's going on.
Mm.
But when they bring the Russians in, you're like, it got way more real than what's going on with the Upside Down. Mm-hmm. Way more real. Steve needs to be way more messed up than Will ever has been. Way more messed up than Will has ever. And here's the thing is Steve will go through this and there will be more character growth in the next two seasons with him than there ever will be with Will.
Mm.
And that is crazy to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with this.
So what are your thoughts on Erica at this point? Because Erica at first was just the annoying little sister, but honestly, like she really started to grow, I think, on everybody. No? You just hate her?
She is Donnie Darko's little sister.
Wow. She is awesome. So the whole conversation where she's calling Dustin a nerd, and then he goes off, he's like, yeah, well, you like My Little Pony. She goes, and what does that have to do with it? He goes, And he tells this entire story of like what the whole thing about My Little Pony is. He goes, yeah, it's nerd stuff for girls.
It's basically
like, well, how do you know about it?
My Little Pony is D&D basically for sci-fi for girls. It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, how do you know so much about it? He's like, because I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
I thought that whole conversation was very
fantastic.
Much like we talk about with like, you know, the Pulp Fiction conversation back and forth. Not necessary for the story, but necessary for the development of the characters.
I loved her whole thing about capitalism too.
Oh yeah,
this is a free market society, and I want to be paid and blah blah blah. Free ice cream for life.
She's like this nine-year-old kid, and she is like a genius.
No, she just knows math.
Well.
Sure.
So here's the thing. That whole conversation with Dustin made Dustin really cool.
Oh,
not
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
I think both of them having a back and forth and realizing, okay, we both have strengths.
No. There was no strength. She didn't say show any strength. He just put her in her place in a really awesome way.
So she's Erica's smart, and I'll give it to Erica. She's really smart. However, she was willing to drink green
goo.
Acid goo.
Yes. That was the dumbest part. That, like when she said that, I'm thirsty. I'm going to drink whatever I can find. It's like, so I think there's a difference between, you know, being smart and being intelligent.
Yeah.
You know, or
yeah,
vice versa.
When she's sitting there.
Intelligence versus smarts.
With the green acid death goo, and she's like banging it on the side of the container, trying to get it to open. Like, oh my God.
That's not a good idea. That was a dumb thing for her character. I'm kind of surprised they did it. I'm kind of surprised they had that part in at all, because everything else made her seem smart.
I'm not, because she's 9 years old.
Right.
And she still says a smart thing in that moment, too.
Yeah.
What she's doing is stupid.
Very.
But she still is Donnie Darko's little sister.
Okay.
And it's she's irritating.
Yeah.
She's not it's not enjoyable to see her on this. Like, not the actress, but the character. It's like she's not there for enjoyment. She is there, and she was written in to be the annoying little sister. Mm. And she plays the part amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The actress, this young actress, she nails the role, like, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Like, she is fantastic. And if I was Lucas, you know, I would be irritated with her on a consistent basis.
You know what? You know what, though? And that goes back to, it's still, like, real life. And maybe I'm going to be the odd one out because I don't have kids. Every 9-year-old is annoying.
Yes.
Yes.
Every 9-year-old, 9-10-year-old is a nuisance. That's the point. Mm-hmm. That's what it means to be,
that's
like,
why they're,
8,
that's why
9, 10. Yes. Is to annoy. So I kind of get it. Like, yeah, of course. Of course this is what she would do. She's 9. Yeah. She's 9, who's a little bit smarter than everybody else around her, and she uses that to her advantage, and it makes it even more annoying.
Well, that's why, right, she had all those followers behind her when she was just mooching off the free samples. Like, she just had, like, a crew of her friends that just knew she's a smart one.
I love her, like, thing when she's, like, at Scoops Ahoy, she's ringing the bell. Ding, 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 get off your butts and give me some free samples. Like, what?
It's enough great. Free samples to make an entire ice cream.
Pretty
well,
much.
When they were convincing her to go into the duct, and they just gave her like every single thing they have on the menu. She's like, nope, I don't like this one. That's not gonna do it. Like, she's totally just, you know, using the advantage she had, which is she's tiny.
Pretty much.
I mean, but it's still funny that they were trying to use Dustin to do. He's like, I've got no collarbones. Go ahead and shove me in there. Push my butt.
He's not going anywhere.
Nope.
What made that scene so much better is if he, like, got stuck.
Yeah. But.
So I will say, out of the 3 episodes, my favorite scene out of all of it is what?
The hospital. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing.
It was
so good.
When Jonathan and Nancy are up there and their bosses come back.
Yeah.
And they get separated and they have this fight and they're going at it. Jonathan gets it handed to him left and right in this whole scene.
Of course. Yeah.
But it is it did bring the horror element into the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
The lights flickering.
Yeah.
The secretary in the hospital, she's an idiot. She's a dunce. She doesn't even realize the lights are flickering.
Well, yeah.
But the irritating part through all of this, though, is you have Lucas and Max and you have Mike and Eleven, you know, in this place where they're in the waiting room and they're reconnecting, and you have Mike, who is, you know, that, you know, you go to a vending machine, you put money in, you push the button and it gets stuck. We've all been there. It's so irritating. And then all of a sudden, boom, like everything falls out, which is, you know, obviously Eleven does her thing. And Lucas is like, she just gave you an olive branch.
That's the olive branch.
Yeah.
Man.
And Mike has no clue what he said.
Zero.
So they have this conversation. He goes back and they're talking. Mike and Eleven are talking, and then Lucas and Max are talking. And it's like nothing ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then there's the whole, but I love, like, the I love you comes out. No, you're 13. No, stop it. Mm. Stop it. This needs to, like, no. Like, so I'm going to see this now. You know, Eleven can't die because Mike loves her. And if season 4, Mike can't die because Eleven loves her, I'm gonna throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, I
hear where you're coming from, and I kind of agree with you.
I was like, are you kidding me?
Eleven's not allowed to die because Mike loves her, and then Mike's not. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of true here. It's kind of true here. I do love the vending machine scene.
It was,
like,
pretty funny.
Because what happens? Like, your candy gets stuck, and the best that we can do is beat on the machine like a dumb ape. Like, and just try to get your candy.
No. There's a really easy system. You go like this. You push up a little bit, boop, boop, and that's it. That's all you need to do.
It doesn't always work.
You don't
need
to sit there and start punching it.
in most cases, all you need is one little lift up and then the drop down, and
sure.
It comes right down.
But it doesn't always work. That's the point.
No.
If it doesn't work, you start hitting it, you start pushing it, you start banging your body into it. You shake it.
What movie was it when somebody put all their belongings in there and they had to pay to get their own stuff out?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
You've seen the movie, though. You know what I'm talking
about.
Like, their stuff was in there, and it was somebody put all their stuff into the vending machine. Oh, you know what? Never mind. It was The Office.
Okay.
I think it was The Office, and it was something that somebody did to Dwight, and it was amazing.
It's insane.
I gotta find that now. It was like his wallet was in there, and in order to get his wallet, he needed to like borrow change,
right,
to get his wallet out of like E7.
Unreal, unbelievable. But yeah,
what you were saying, Will, you were saying with the whole vending machine thing.
No, I just love that, you know, they brought it back home in a really funny way. That just like at the end of the day, like the humans. Compared to they can't even get candy out of a vending machine. How do they honestly expect to like be on the same level with 11 when everything hits the fan later on? I just love it. I just love the whole dynamic there. I think it's fantastic.
And I think,
but them beating on the machine, like, and it's weird because like The Simpsons did everything, and I distinctly remember this one episode where they were in church and they were like trying to prove a point of like men are stupid. Or whatever like that, and they were like, "Watch, I will show you." And they put down a beer for Homer, and they didn't give him a can opener. What's the best that he could do? Start jumping up and down like an ape, beating on the bottle of beer, trying to get it open. And it's like you see the same thing here. Like, what's the best you got? Beat on the machine until it gives you what it wants. And 11 had to like just like nothing, give them all the candy in the world that they could possibly eat right there in that moment. I don't know.
Yep.
I thought it was cool.
It was fantastic. Now, I did say at the beginning that there are parts where 11 like becomes 11 again, and when Billy in the whole the sauna episode, when Billy comes out and he is now the mud monster, and she just goes, "Ah!" Yeah. And she takes him, and she is throwing him up into the ceiling, and then off into the wall, and then the other wall, and then down the ground, and she is just whipping this guy around, and then she just pushes him out the window. You're like,
well, through the wall, through a brick,
through the wall, through the brick wall. You're like, but then in the hospital scene, she comes over, does it again, and tosses the mud monster out the window.
Yes,
and you're like, this is the 11 that I want to see.
I love when the thing goes down the grate and you can see like human bones left behind.
Ugh.
Yes,
like that was like, I mean, it was sick, but it was also just like, ooh, you know, you're getting more of a sense of like, this is just a bunch of broken down human bodies.
Pretty much.
I mean, bodies in general. It started with rats. And again, I'm going to say it again because I think it was so smart of this creature to start off with rodents because no one's going to notice the rodents.
No.
Use the rodents to build up your strength. You know, it's like it's, you know, like starting an investment. You know, you start off with, you know, nickels and dimes, and then you take that, then you grow that, then you grow that. And then suddenly it becomes a big deal. Or a better example, Superman 3. You know, take just a fraction of a cent or whatever that's left behind and just watch how it grows.
Yeah.
You know, start off with something that nobody would notice. Next thing you know, it's like $2 million.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, uh-oh, there's a thing here. But when you start off small, if you're strategic about it, you can grow into something really big. And I love that it started off with rats.
Very
nobody
true.
Would notice this. And once there was enough strength, no human could stop it.
Yeah.
And that was the whole idea. So I think all in all, like, again, I'm glad we're kind of cruising through this season because there is a lot of filler.
Mm-hmm.
But the story that is happening is amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm just, again, really looking forward to season 4.
Yeah. The final thing that I'll say about 11, and to Chuck's point, the visual of her wearing what she's wearing with her hair tied up in the bun and all of a sudden she's magic.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I don't buy the superhuman magic girl dressing up like a middle school preppy kid. Like, it just doesn't do it. Doesn't do it at all for me. It is what it is, though. Yeah. It is what it is, and I'm super happy with
like,
the scene.
Like,
it was
it's
amazing,
like, it's like,
but
it's like Pippi Longstocking with like magic.
Kinda.
It just doesn't. It doesn't work.
Kinda. Yeah. It feels a little.
I don't mind it.
Okay. Anyways, we can move on to the next big thing. Hop, Joyce, Russian, Murray.
Oh, yeah.
We're translating.
Oh, man.
And,
First of all.
Strawberry daiquiri. Or strawberry daiquiri. Strawberry slushy. Daiquiri.
Yeah.
I like cherry.
No, it's cherry.
I kind of like strawberry, too.
So,
keep going.
Do you?
Joyce. Like, she can't.
The angry mom.
She can't. I love how she goes off, and Hop is like, what are you, dating him too? Like, is he your boyfriend now? And she's like, I'm not dating every guy I talk to. You know, he is so mad that he is just continuously putting himself out there.
Yep.
And she is just striking him down every step. But then she's just always there with him.
Yep.
It's like, make up your mind.
Yes.
Choose him.
Very much
just
so.
Say,
yes.
Stop
I agree.
This.
I agree.
Stop
100%.
This. This is so irritating.
It is. It's like, very irritating. I love how she's like the inflection in her like voice and her like facial features like went up a couple of notches when she saw him wearing that Hawaiian shirt. Like she was like, why are you wearing that shirt? Yeah. Like the shirt. It was the shirt that did it for you. Like, it wasn't everything else that Hop did until this point. Like, Hop has saved your life. Hop has saved the town. Hop has saved your kid's life. He's, like, bending over backwards for you. He's, like, literally risking his life to make sure, like, you and everybody that you care about is safe. And you don't want anything to do with him. No, you want Bob Newby. But when you see him in the Hawaiian shirt, you get a little smitten. What?
Right. Well, on top of all of that, she treats him like she is, like he is her boyfriend.
Pretty much.
She gets mad at him.
Yep.
You know.
She is very entitled. She feels that everything she wants, she could just get because she's Joyce Byers.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, she goes to places and she, like what she did with her boss, like, you're going to give me all this stuff because blah, 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 and my kid, season one.
No,
you know,
she...
And then later on, you're going to help me with this because my magnets. Like, she just wants to tell people what she wants.
Pretty much.
No, but in season, with her boss, though, she, to her point, she just lost her kid, and she's like,
yeah.
She's like, I've never asked for anything. Mm-hmm. Just do this one thing. I'm fine with that.
And a pack of Luckies or whatever, you know, like that's
Camels.
Yeah, whatever it was.
And when she gets to Murray's house, it's like, no,
yes,
you are going to
off.
Do X, Y, and Z right now. No questions asked. Stop with all this nonsense. And I want to know why my magnets are falling. Please.
What? She reminds me of Marge Simpson when Marge gets mad.
Yeah, kind of.
That's what she, like, when she did this and she goes, please, at the end. I'm like, that's Marge Simpson, 100%. You know when Marge just, like, loses it?
Yeah.
Like, every now and again, she
every
just
now
loses
and again,
it.
She'll
but she,
lose
but,
it.
But then she just goes, please.
Have you ever seen anybody like just out and about when you're talking to them and they always have that like surprised look on their face?
Yes.
All the time. Like their eyebrows are always raised, their eyes are always wide eyed.
Oh, wasn't that the one who played the wife in The Walking Dead? The one who died in the prison. She was always wide eyed, like something was going on.
Always.
I remember my wife, the entire time when I got her to watch the show with me, she's like, what is wrong with this woman's eyes? I don't understand what's going on. Why is she?
Yeah.
That's when Nona Ryder, she's always like.
Yeah.
She gets squinty.
She doesn't get squinty.
Yeah. But it's like angry squinty. Like, she's confused. But anyway, no, just her character is supposed to be manic. And she's always manic. In the beginning of the season, she was okay because everything seemed fine. But then once her magnet started falling, oh boy!
Oh no!
That's how this whole thing started. That
magnets.
Was the only thing she was upset about. It's like, what's going on with these magnets?
Magnets fell from the freezer. Okay.
Now, does this Russian guy ever learn to speak English, or is he just always Russian the whole way?
I love Alexei.
Oh my god! Yeah, Alexei.
Smirnoff.
So
Smirnoff, Alexei. I love that they have him tied up to the tree, and he's like, they're trying to work on the truck, and he's like, stop.
He just goes, no, stop.
He won't listen.
Yeah.
And the truck explodes, and he's like, stop.
Yep. I said stop. You didn't listen. So I'm going to touch upon this because it is my favorite part of everything right now. So you bring Smirnoff and Joyce and everything over to Murray's house. And Murray's, like, super upset. You just brought the enemy into my home. I have to leave now. Like, this whole thing is ridiculous because then they called, like, the government and said, you know, blah, 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 Dr. Owen said this, you know, help us out. He's like, now I have to leave. What the heck? But at one point, Hopper is just getting totally walked on by Alexei. And, you know, he's just like, I said cherry, not strawberry, you know, this whole back and forth thing. And finally he's like, you know what? And he throws him out there, throws him the keys to the car, the keys to the handcuffs. And he's like, go ahead. I'm done with this. And they're like, you just let him go. And he goes, ah, he's not going anywhere. He's going to realize, we know, that he's got no place to go. Because if he gets out of here without a scratch, you know, they're going to just kill him. So he knows he can't go anywhere. But then you see Alexei, that cuts over as he's saying this. And he's just like, they're stupid. They let me go. And he gets in the car, turns on the music. And as they're saying, that sounds like the car just turned on. And you see Hopper, like, kind of get worried for a moment. And everybody else is like, Hopper, what are you doing? And he's just like, no, it's good. It's good. Trust me, it's good. And then you see him, like, glance back like, crap, is it not good? You know, but in the end, he was completely right.
Yeah.
Like, they open up the door to run out there because he's driving away, and he's just sitting there at the end of the gate, not going anywhere. He backs up, gives him the keys, and says, I like strawberry, too.
I love that.
Inside.
I love that Hop is smart, because
he
could have been very easily the drunken oaf.
The dumb character.
Yeah,
just
they
like,
could have very easily
he's a brawler,
done that
and that's
with
all
him.
He's good
that's
for.
That's all he would be good for. Nope, he got a brain.
No.
I'm so happy that he has a brain.
And that goes back to what we were talking about before, about unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, the way that that whole scene turned out was unexpected, and it was the greatest, most heroic moment for me about how Hopper was, because he is smarter than anybody thought. You think he's just a tough guy, because of the whole conversation that he has with, you know, Joyce about Will, or no, but not Will, but about Mike and all that stuff. And just like, oh, let's talk about feelings. But he just does it his own way of just, you know, like pretty much grinding him down, saying, you stay away from her or I'm going to, you know, rip you a new one, basically.
Right.
And, you know, that's because how he is. But here, he was an intelligent, smart dude. And that's why he's the chief of police. And you see that and you're like, whoa, he is not just a screw up. He's not a fat drunk, you know. So it's brilliant. That whole scene is, I mean, the hospital scene is great as far as like what's cool and action packed, but the character of Hopper just, like, for me, just went up like 20 pegs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
100%.
Absolutely amazing. And obviously the song choice for when he gets in the car and he's all excited. I mean, it's the Neutron Dance by the Pointer Sisters.
Yes.
Which is the same song from the first car chase scene in Beverly Hills Cop, which is one of my favorite movies as well.
Okay.
So love it. Absolutely love it.
Why are you so what's the smile? What's wrong with Beverly Hills Cop?
Talking about me?
Yeah, you.
Nothing.
Okay. You were just like laughing. Nothing. Like he said like Beverly Hills Cop and you were like ha ha, like what?
No, I'm just smiling.
Okay.
Just smiling.
Okay.
Just smiling.
What else happens?
Russians.
The Russians.
Well,
Russians
we talked about the Russians. They're stupid.
Yeah.
That's the majority of what happens.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Russians.
That's the majority of what happens. And like I said earlier,
yeah,
one really big thing happened, and that was like the demon of guts and bones, of sludge and goop, kind of like came together. Ah, monster!
Well, what was cool about that is when we saw that thing come together, it was just the goop of two dudes. It was, you know, Jake Busey and the boss there.
Yeah, but now there's a
they
lot
came
more.
Together and created that and created that thing there. And then that's what came and started, like, you know, fighting them and going through the slots and everything, going after Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
But then that thing goes into the sewer and connects to the bigger thing, and you go, oh, and then everybody else drops down,
yeah,
goop, and then the goop monster comes up and it's huge. Because it's been building for, you know, what's this, like a week, maybe? I don't even know.
Yeah.
One thing that we didn't touch upon, too, is they gave Mrs. Wheeler a scene to be, like, a really, like, caring mother.
Yeah.
When she has that conversation with Nancy. It almost felt forced. Like, it seemed out of place because we've never really seen her have much of a character development except for that scene where, you know, she chose to not, you know, go find Billy. So it's almost like
up until this point, you're led to believe that neither one of these parents care very much about their kids and their activities. But now all of a sudden, she's like, "You gotta take life and you gotta go do the thing. And if you think you're right, then go for it." And
finish the story.
Finish the story. Yeah.
So now she's Lois Lane. Fantastic.
Who, Nancy?
Nancy.
Okay.
Sorry, really? Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew.
Hey there, Nancy Drew.
Okay.
Oh man.
Okay.
Yeah. As much as I hate the name, the Upside Down, I want to see more of it.
Yeah. So do I.
Stranger Things are because they're strange, not because they're Russian.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Well,
how many Russians do you know?
Probably quite a few.
Yeah. Well, at one point they were strangers, but now you know them.
It's science fiction,
I don't know. I'm kind of. I'm with Chuck here. I want to see more of the Upside Down because that's what the show is supposed to be about. The show is supposed to be about the Upside Down and the smoke monster and what's going on and oh my god, go buyers. And now all of a sudden it's like, here are the Russians and here is Terminator and
right.
Yeah.
It's like with Star Trek, you know, it's about the crew of the Enterprise on the Enterprise flying around in space. Mm-hmm. And there are parts where it takes place on Earth and they're at Earth and you see Kirk and you see this stuff. But if the entire thing was Star Trek and they were on Earth for 90% of the movie, it would not be Star Trek. It would just be another weird movie.
That goes back to what we talked about a few times, or I think it's come up multiple times, is the Terminator movies. We watched one, we watched two, we dealt with three, and then we saw Terminator Salvation. And everyone's just like, this movie's horrible. I'm like, why? Because there's not really time travel in it? Salvation? There was not really time travel. It was all about John Connor in the current time.
I'm kind of taking issue with, like, I don't think the appeal of Terminator was ever time travel. The appeal of Terminator was the Terminator.
Right. And the Terminator was not really in this as, like, there's one Terminator going back to try to change the past.
Yeah, but time travel in Terminator is not even a B plot. It's like plot.
I know, but it was a tool. Time travel was the tool, that brought the thing from the future to the past. Or, you know, our current.
Right, but it's not like time travel in it was.
I know, but I'm saying like that element of something came from the future to affect the past to change the future.
Speaking of, was not
a factor in Salvation.
Speaking of
except for the fact that like there was a machine that they were trying to get to destroy it. So it was very different than all the others.
Speaking of time travel, they do kind of lay some of the groundwork for that. If they want to explore time travel, with Eleven going through Billy's memories and on the beach to a place she's never been before and yada, 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 and gets to see like Billy's basically life like play out right before her in such a way. So they do kind of play with that a little bit here. It was different from when she went to not different, but it was almost the same thing when she went like to her mom and like got to see like everything with her play out like in her mind. This was different though.
We're straying away from my point that I'm getting at here is there was a consistent feel for the movies and you know because there was an existent thing that was always there. And then there was Salvation, which was so different.
Yeah.
So you've got this where you've got this feel for the first two seasons of Stranger Things where the Upside Down is a thing that's happening. And then here, it's basically non-existent. And we're going, wait, I thought this show was about some other world that was like, you know, something's happening here. And all we've seen is a creature from that world in our world.
Yeah.
But we're not seeing the Upside Down. So it throws people off. I mean, I'm not going to say it's as far as like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Because obviously that was never the Halloween movies were never supposed to be only about Michael Myers.
I almost said it. Michael Myers.
Mm.
It's just that the first two happened to be about Michael Myers, and when they did the third one, everyone's like, where's Michael Myers? And we're like, that was not the point, but okay, let's just make a bunch of movies about this thing coming back over and over again and keep making up new lore. So people are always thrown off when something changes after two. If you do two in one way and then the third one is very different, people are like, what's the deal here? You know, what's the deal? They're confused, and it makes them feel like that you strayed away from the formula. So why are we watching this? I will say this does it to a point, but it's not so much where I'm thrown off saying this is the worst season ever and I hate it. But it's definitely off-putting to not have that same, you know, element that was such a big part of the first two.
I understand
the whole and the series as a whole.
I understand where you're coming from.
So it's kind of bound to happen when you stray away from it.
Okay.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got nothing.
He found his aroma lacked a certain appeal. Okay.
I got nothing.
Clear the Savannah after every meal.
I will say, you know, you brought up 11 with Billy and 11 with her mom. And it actually got me wondering that it wasn't her mom that was doing that. It was her. Because she does it with Billy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I think there was a combo.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
Well, her mom's kind of like fried. So I don't know if she has the ability to even like...
I thought it was the only thing she had was just that little bit of a ability to just like... Oh, because there was the lights and stuff in there. And
if
it was
she
her mom
has the ability...
Her back.
Yeah, but if she has the ability to do that... I'm sorry.
Is it your theory that 11 is the one who's like accessing these memories
solely?
Yeah, because she does it with Billy. So therefore, she must have done it with her mom because she's learning. Because she tried something different that she's done before, and if it was her mom that did it the first time and she's never done this before, she should not be able to do it now. It would be the consistency would be off at that point.
I like it.
And it wouldn't make sense.
I like it.
It's very Professor X.
She's very Professor X.
Yeah, I like how she goes from this in-between realm where she's talking to Billy. She's talking because this monster can see her. So
yeah.
It's not Billy talking to her, it's this monster. And then she rips away, and she falls into his memory.
Yeah,
and I thought that was
so
amazing.
It was amazing, but that wasn't really what I was talking about. I wanted to get a little bit more into it, but Lee wanted to continue his point, and that's fine. It was afterwards. It was after she went through the whole, like, visuals with Billy and him being a child and abusive father and mom left and blah 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 and your sister Max. It was after all that where she feels like she's back in the cabin. She thinks she's back in, like, the house. She's not. She's somewhere
she's
completely
not.
Different. And I have no idea if that's her or if that's Billy.
Hmm.
That's why I said, like, this time that she did it, it was different. Something else happened. There was something else going on.
Oh, that at that point, it could have been... You think, like, the thing was... This monster was kind of throwing her off for the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I could see that happening. I'm just saying that her going back into the memories is a her thing. Not
I think
a her
so
mom
too.
Thing.
I agree with you on that. I think so too. Which is really cool. But and like we
awesome.
Said, it's very Professor X.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she freaks out, rips the mask off, and she's back. And she's back in the room again with everybody.
Very true.
And she's fine. Yeah. I mean, we have three more episodes left?
Two.
I thought there was nine in this episode.
No.
This season.
There's only eight. And we have two episodes left.
So that'll be our next
this
episode.
This went by fast. And it's just... Mm-hmm.
It
furthers my point that this season is a little because there's not a lot that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because right now we are in the midst... Six episodes to get to the point where Steve is being beat on. two episodes to get out and beat it. That's gonna feel rushed. I'm afraid it's gonna feel rushed.
Yep.
So,
which is really weird. He has spent six episodes in that ridiculous Chips Ahoy
Scoops
costume.
Ahoy. So bad.
Scoops Ahoy.
Scoops Ahoy, Chips Ahoy, whatever. In that ridiculous sailor's suit. I kind of feel bad for him. Like, geez.
They brought down his you know, Steve the Hare Harrington thing, like, so much just because of those clothes. And it's sad.
What was the point of his conversation with what's her name? Oh my god.
With Robin?
Yeah. Robin? About you sat in front of me and I knew what food you ate and I blah blah blah.
That was her conversation with him.
Yeah, that was her conversation with him, and that was just
why?
That was because it was just to bring him to a level of humanity.
What? They were on truth serum, and she is sitting there like
at that point,
and she is sitting there because they started.
This is before the truth serum.
It was before that. Yeah. No.
This is when they were going.
They were on the ground.
They were trying to get the scissors to get out. And they were like scooting their chairs over,
right.
And they fell.
Yeah. Because now she's like, because she had a crush on him in high school.
She didn't really say she had a crush on him.
Yes, she did.
No, she said, I was obsessed with you, but she wasn't saying that. She was saying, I was obsessed with you because you were popular.
Hold on. We'll get more into that next season, but
Let's talk about that next season.
No, but Lee, what part of I was obsessed with you is not telling him I have a crush on you?
Because if you listen to what she says completely, she says, like, everybody was about just the popular people.
Well, yeah, the band geeks wanted to be popular, blah, blah, blah. I get that.
Right, but what she's saying is, I was upset. That's why she's, like,
she's
beside
paying
her.
Attention to what he eats for breakfast.
Yeah. Okay, well.
I'm just
and on top
saying.
Of that, she's like.
Yeah, but.
They spell it out pretty clear here.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as we go. I know, but
they make it very loud and clear.
I suppose.
Here. It's just, yeah, anyways.
So I'll put it this way. You could be, you know, anybody of and what?
I'd like to get a single thought out this episode.
Go ahead.
No, go.
He brought that up, so I was just kind of going with it. But
no, I brought it up.
Okay.
I was just piggybacking off of what he said.
Oh, Chuck, you're here?
Yeah. I'm glad you noticed.
Sorry.
So
proceed.
No, now just go. It's the moment's over, so go.
The moment's over?
Go.
Is the magic gone?
Go.
Oh. I don't have anything to say.
I'm shocked. So how do you not see that she is on the floor spilling her emotions to him, saying, I can't believe this is the same conversation that she had. The conversation that she is having with Steve in this traumatic moment is the same conversation that Bob Newby was having with Joyce. I can't believe I'm here with Joyce Byers. Like, I am, oh my gosh, I'm beside myself. And she's like, oh my gosh, I am beside myself. I can't believe that the whole thing is, you were so popular in high school. And look, we are in the same job. We do the same thing. She's recognizing, oh my gosh, I had a crush on you in high school. What an idiot I was, because I thought you were so much cooler than me, but here we are doing the same thing. After high school, none of it matters. But I had a huge crush on you in high school. At least she's recognizing that at 18, 19 years old, where it took 45 years for Bob Newby to figure that one out before he died. Good for her. Now she can move on. But she had a massive, Bob Newby had a crush on Joyce Byers in high school, and it remained all the way through, which is why nobody could stand him.
So why?
she had a crush on him in high school, and now, now reality just smacked her in the face, and all of a sudden she's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I had a crush on him because I thought he was so much better than everybody else, but here he is, the same as me. Go figure. She doesn't...
I like it.
I don't think we can have this conversation right now until
I like
we,
it.
We
I like
watch,
everything that he's saying right
four.
Now. Chuck is making a whole lot of sense.
I know. I just
you are making Chuck. You are making a whole lot of sense, and I like it. I'm gonna leave it at that. I like
have
everything
you never,
that you're laying
have you,
down right now.
Have you? So I'm gonna say this: there are people that I look back at that were like my class president, my that were all the popular people.
Yeah.
And I look at them on Facebook or wherever now, and I'm like, 10 years after high school, I was like, there were people that were like, they became drug addicts, they became this.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, they're like that. They were the popular people. They peaked in high school.
Yeah.
At least Steve got out of that before, unless he does peak. I mean, he peaked in high school. Now he works at Scoops Ahoy.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just saying, when I rewatched this episode, I'm trying, Will. I'm trying to, I'd rather talk about this.
Don't say
four.
Anything then.
No, I know. But I'm just saying the only reason why I'm saying it, she says I was obsessed with you. That's the specific word she uses. It's the only word. Besides her talking about what you ate for breakfast and this and that, that makes me go, okay, technically that could still be debatable because she never said I had the biggest crush on you, which is different than saying I'm obsessed with you. I understand if you're looking at it with that track mind saying that there was a crush, obviously that means the same thing. But say, for example, you idolized somebody. You saw somebody and the people they were with and you idolized that group of people. The popular kids.
This is not Mean Girls.
I know. But I'm saying, her using that specific verbiage is similar to saying, I idolized you and that crew. And that's the only thing that I'm holding on to. And again, I don't want to go any further with it until we've gotten to season four. Because there's more that comes out that changes the way this can be viewed. Because that's why I'm viewing it this way. Because when I heard her say that the first time, I'm like, oh yeah, obviously she had a crush on him. Let's see what happens here between these two.
Nothing happens between these
two. Let's back up. I wanna isolate the differences between the way I bring up something in an episode and you bring up something in an episode. I put it out there, I posit the theory, and I let the conversation between Chuck and I happen naturally, and I go with it. You're like, well, No, I can't say. Don't.
Well, it's just because.
Just don't then. Just don't say anything. You can just say, okay. And move on.
Okay.
Simple. So, yeah.
I don't foresee a relationship between these two.
Okay, neither do I. So.
And the episode ends with the big demon. That's it.
Big demon.
Big demon.
Sucking people into him.
Sucking people into him. Sucking
people
into him.
They all just drop.
If this demon was just a little bit lighter, it would be the poop demon from Dogma. That's exactly what this thing would be. If it was just a shade or two lighter than it actually is here, it would be the poop demon from Dogma.
You mean the first one in the hospital? That one looked more like that.
Yeah.
This one looks
massive.
Like the dust monster.
Massive.
Well, it is a dust monster.
You know what it looks like? You know what it looks like? You know what it reminds me of?
The spider looking thing?
You know what it reminds me of?
That it is.
Did either one of you ever beat?
Doesn't look like what he's talking about.
Did either one of you ever beat Resident Evil 3 Nemesis?
3 I didn't play.
No.
2 I did.
This is basically what Nemesis turns into.
When that thing's
in
the hallway on the ceiling. Oh, jeez.
This is basically what Nemesis turns into at the end of the third game.
Right.
That's
right,
basically,
that
I was like, wow, okay. Okay, you're doing a really good job with that one, because it was spot on. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Two episodes left.
Two episodes
Yay!
Left.
Oh, yay.
And then season four.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yep.
Please tell me there's no Russians in season four. Okay, there's Russians in season four.
No, not really. A thing happens, but it's nothing, you know, it's nothing to complain about.
Not like this.
Not yeah, like this.
This is just bad.
I'll say this. Russians are not the A plot.
Will, your face is just priceless.
Oh, man. Lee, we should play poker. Like, man.
Yeah. Well, no, you just straight up lied, I think. But my point is, yeah, Russians are in it. It's just not, like, you're not going to be as upset about them as you are here because it's not.
You can't do it, can you?
No, we can. He's bad at it. You're really bad.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not here to lie.
Putting on a poker face.
You.
The point is not to let him know anything.
I didn't let him know
the
anything.
The point is not to say things.
All right.
That's the point. I'm not lying. I'm omitting details.
Okay. I didn't have any details. I omit details too. It's the same thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to wrap this episode up. We are done.
Thank you.
It is over. Tune in next week. Chilling finale of our coverage of season 3 of Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yay.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye, everyone.